Well, will you turn with me, please, into the book of the Revelation and chapter 1. Revelation and chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and to him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. Well, will you turn with me, please, to that passage of scripture that we read together this morning, Revelation chapter 1. And if you would like some words to fix your thoughts upon, then perhaps there are no better words than to be found at the end of the 17th verse and verse 18, where the Lord Jesus Christ says, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Now, our word revelation comes from the Greek word apokalypsis, which means the uncovering of something which is hidden, something that we could never fathom out, left to ourselves. Human wisdom cannot understand this book, but God is speaking to us through his servant John. Much of the book comes to us in the form of mysterious symbols. But we are told not to neglect this book, because there is a promise given, a promise of blessing to those who read it. Now, John, of course, is the author of this book. And John, you remember, belonged to that inner circle of Christ's disciples. He was a very privileged disciple. You remember that when the Lord Jesus Christ raised up Jairus' daughter, John was there. And Jesus addressed the little girl with those beautiful words, Talitha kumi, which apparently is the call that a mother would make to her little girl to rise up in the morning. So what the Lord Jesus said to the little girl in effect was, little girl, it's time for you to wake. John was also there at the Transfiguration, and he witnessed there the glory and the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he saw the Lord Jesus speaking with Moses and Elijah, representatives of the law and the prophets. And John heard them speaking of Christ's decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Speaking of Christ's death, speaking of Calvary. So vital was this work in the economy of God. And John was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he witnessed the agony and the awesome sight of Christ in prayer. Christ sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, and crying, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Christ was going to experience what he had never experienced before. Christ was going to experience damnation. He was going to experience the sin of his people laid upon him. And so he uttered that cry, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" So John saw all these things. Now John was well acquainted with his master. He had leaned on his breast at supper. But now he had been banished to the island of Patmos because of his love for the Lord Jesus Christ and because of the testimony that he bore to him. He was about 90 years of age. He was human like you and I. And probably he was feeling homesick. And you can imagine him standing on the shore, looking across the waters towards home, thinking of those that he loved, of his family and of his brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And here he was, stuck on this island of Patmos, probably thinking, "Well, what can I do here to further the cause of the gospel?" But suddenly, Christ appears to him. Christ is right there with him in the midst of his trial. And Christ says to him, amongst other things, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and of hell." Now, John was about 90 years of age. This was about 60 years after the death of Christ. And John was there because of his faithfulness to Christ. My friends, be faithful to Christ wherever you are. Ask him to help us to be faithful to his cause. And a revelation is given here to John of two great princes who are totally opposed to each other. The first great prince is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And the other great prince is the dragon, Satan, the devil himself. And throughout this book, the devil seeks to destroy Christ's work. And Christ makes war with the dragon. And my friends, that's why John was on Patmos. Because wherever God's people are persecuted for their faith, behind that persecution always lies the work of the dragon, the work of Satan. But Jesus Christ never leaves his people. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. My friends, is that not true? We sing sometimes, the soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. Now, we are told here that it was the Lord's Day. It is the Christian Sabbath. It is the day of resurrection. And on this particular day, we are told that John was in the Spirit. And William Still, the great Scottish preacher, commenting on this, says that John was in a rapture. He was in a serious, heavenly, spiritual frame under the blessed and gracious influences of the Spirit of God. And when a man or a woman is in that frame, no wonder the Lord Jesus Christ himself draws near. While John is in this condition, he hears behind him a voice. And this voice says to him that what he hears, he is to write in a book and send it to the seven churches. Now, I understand that the number seven occurs about 54 times alone in the book of Revelation. And the number seven seems to indicate completeness, wholeness. And so what we have here is John being told to send this letter to the seven churches of Asia Minor, but these seven churches are representative of the church of God in every generation. And so this message is relevant to us today. It speaks to us. It speaks to the church in every age and generation, and it is meant to encourage us, as it encouraged John in his day. Well, John turns around to see who it was that spoke with him. What did he see? Well, when he turned, he saw a divine person, a glorious person, walking in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. Now, we don't have to guess at the meaning. We are told there in verse 20 that the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. They are golden candlesticks. Gold is a precious metal. And the candlesticks point to the church of Jesus Christ. And we are told that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so we see here Christ walking in the midst of his church. Now, candlesticks are meant to give light. And Jesus says to us this morning, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle. They don't hide that light. They put it on a candlestick that it might give light to all that are in the house. And my friends, you and I this morning, we are meant to be light bearers. We are meant to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ in our day and generation. We have no light of our own. We receive our light from Christ himself. Unfortunately, we have to say that in these days, the church is not radiating light as it should. You cannot rely anymore when you go into certain churches that you will hear the gospel. Some are guilty of heresy. Some deny vital Christian doctrine, such as the substitutionary atonement, the bodily resurrection of Christ, the virgin birth. People are denying these things today. And within the church, we have practicing homosexual priests. And we could go on. Is it any wonder that God has withdrawn from us? Is it any wonder morality is breaking down and godlessness pervades our nation? My friends, the church, you and I, we are to be light bearers in an ungodly world. Now Jesus begins to speak. John was well acquainted with Christ. John had lived with Christ for 3 years. But those were the days of his humiliation, when his glory was veiled. But now what John sees is the risen, ascended, glorified Son of God. And the Lord Jesus begins to speak, and he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. And what the Lord Jesus Christ is really saying to us here is, I am the Eternal One. I am from everlasting to everlasting. I am the perfect and eternal revelation of God. In verse 8, although the commentators disagree here, it is God himself who says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. But here in verse 11, the Lord Jesus Christ takes that name unto himself. In the Old Testament, Jehovah God refers to himself as the first and the last. The Lord Jesus Christ takes that name to himself. So what we have here is this. Jesus Christ is God. He is very God of very God, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. He is co-equal. He is co-eternal with the Father. What else does John see? Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ was upon the earth, he turned to his disciples one day and he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say you were John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And they were all exalted views. The trouble is, they weren't exalted enough. Christ is infinitely greater than all these men. He is very God. And when John looks at the glorified Christ, what does he see? He sees Christ clothed with a garment down to the foot, with a golden girdle about him, symbols of majesty and authority. His head and his hair was white like wool, as white as snow, denoting his wisdom and his purity. He is the Ancient of Days. He lived before the world existed. He is the Eternal One. He is one with God. His eyes were like flames of fire, eyes that were able to look into the innermost being of men and women, so that he knew the heart of man. Christ is the omniscient Christ. His feet were like burnished brass, trampling down the wicked and working out his own eternal purposes. His voice was as the sound of many waters, a voice filled with authority and greatness and power and majesty. He has a two-edged sword, symbolic maybe of his justice and the power of his word. And when we take all these things together, what do we see? We see a great and mighty Christ. Not gentle Jesus, meek and mild, as the world perhaps think of him today. We see a glorious and majestic and mighty Christ. That's why I want to sing at the end of the service in a few minutes' time, Mighty Christ from Time Eternal. Mighty he man's nature takes. This is the Christ that John saw. Christ is no longer a worm and no man, but the Lord of glory, the joy of his people, the mighty one. He is the infinite King of heaven and of earth. Now we must also notice here in verse 16 that he has seven stars in his right hand. And we are told that the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. I was going to go into this a little deeper, but time is running away, so I won't. Sufficeth us to say that the angels of the seven churches are God's messengers. They are God's servants, his ministers, his pastors, who bring to us the word of God, who have a concern for our souls, who help to build us up in our most holy faith. And we are to value them for their work's sake. They are to be obedient to the truth of the scriptures. And they are not to give cause to bring dishonor to the Lord Jesus Christ. They must do his bidding. And then John saw Christ in his resurrection power. Look at verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Christ has overcome death. He has burst the bands of death asunder. And we are told here that he has two keys in his hand. The keys of death and the key of Hades, or the invisible world. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ himself who has control of these keys. Not the devil. And my friends, I'm becoming ever more conscious of this. Isn't it wonderful to know that when my time comes to die, and when your turn comes to today. And let's face it, we can be fearful of the way in which we might die. We don't know how we are going to die. But isn't it wonderful to know that when my time comes, that it is Christ who will put the key into the door, and it is Christ who will open the door of death. And when our time comes and Christ opens the door, he will open the door so gently, and you and I will slip into eternity. How wonderful that is. But the Lord Jesus Christ also has the key of paradise or hell. It's not the devil who has the key. It is Christ who holds the key. And if you are Christ's this morning, if you have been washed in the precious blood of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ will open up to you the key of the door of paradise. And we will enter in, and there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more death, but we shall be with Christ, which is far, far better. But Christ too has the key of hell. And if you do not belong to Christ this morning, if Christ is not your Savior, the door of hell will be opened to you. But Christian friend, if you love Christ, that door will be locked to you, and that door to hell will never be opened. What a comfort for believers who were soon to die. The issues of life and death are in Christ's hands, and this surely must be our comfort in these days in which we live. Dear friends, this morning, let Christ be your Saviour, and let Christ be the Lord of your life. And then finally, and briefly, we are told here in verse 17 that John is completely overpowered with the greatness and the glory and the majesty of Christ. He falls down at his feet. He felt a sense of deep unworthiness. John had been so conversant with Christ. He had walked with Christ. He had leaned on Christ's bosom. But there's no meatiness here. There's no familiarity here. There is no camaraderie here, like between friends. Christ is Christ, and we are but mere men and women. Isaiah had the same problem. When he met with the holiness of God, he cried out, "Woe is me, for I am undone, I am a man of unclean lips. And Daniel ended up on the ground with his face to the ground when confronted with the holiness and the majesty of Christ. Christ is Christ. We are but mere men and women. But praise God, by his grace, one day we shall come into his presence and we shall fall down before him, lost in wonder, love, and praise. My friends, Christ is alive. He is walking in the midst of his church. And he speaks through his servants. Have you seen Christ? Have you submitted to Christ? Have you listened to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is your mind filled with other things? Do you fail to hear him? You can't be neutral. You can't sit on the fence. You're either on the side of Christ or the side of the dragon. Now, John was banished from fellowship with other believers. And there are many in the world today who suffer a similar fate, banished from fellowship with other believers. But we cannot be banished from fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and Christ met with him. And so can we meet with Christ wherever we are, in a palace, in a humble cottage, in a prison cell, wherever his servants are, Christ will be there. He has promised to be there. Do not fear Satan. Fear Christ. Be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will bring you home to glory. May the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and be with me as we live out our lives in this world. May we seek to honor him and glorify him. And may we know him as our own personal Lord and Saviour. May God bless his word to us this morning.